many times have you celebrated your 39th birthday? When age 50 creeps up on us, we deny it, hide it, and do everything we can to ignore each birthday that comes after. But why? Let's celebrate our voices of experience. Whether you're passing 50, passing 60, or approaching another decade, we've got great discussions and guests to help you embrace every year you've got under your belt. If you're passing 50 or more, pull up a chair. We've got something just for you. Now, here's your host, Robin Boyd. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Passing 50. This is Robin Boyd with you today, and I am thrilled to have another conversation with a good friend of ours, and you have met her before on this show. We have had many conversations about not only sandwich generation, but also about caring for our elders and some of the things that we are experiencing as we ourselves are getting a little bit older. Sometimes the ability to do all just kind of catches up on us, and we say, wait a minute, I really cannot burn the candle at two ends. I really cannot do it all. And I think sometimes we do find ourselves in that perplexing dilemma when we are caretakers. And we don't have to be caretakers physically in person. Sometimes it means just financial care of our elder. Maybe it just means helping to organize housekeeping. Some of those things are just the one extra thing in our very busy lives that we may not always remember to book our schedules for. Today, I thought we would talk a little bit about our independence of our aging parents. We are, because we end up being so busy, sometimes we forget that the dignity that our elders need to feel, the dignity that they have been our matriarchs or patriarchs all of our lives, and now those roles have reversed, and it does become a little bit difficult for us to keep that in our minds. Our days roll by, and we have to stop and say, wait a minute, how are we treating, how are we caring, how are we engaging those elders who are now, whether they like it or not, dependent on us? Now, I happen to be an only child. The responsibility for my parents' care was going to be on my shoulders. And fortunately, my husband foresaw that even before I did. My mother needed care much earlier than I thought I was going to have to provide it. My children were still in grade school, and it was definitely a family decision how we were going to care for her. Some families, though, have many siblings who need to come together and make a family decision on who can provide what care for those elders. Maybe it's dividing the tasks. One family member might be better at the financial management. One might be better at the all-day or the all-day-to-day care. Possibly it will take someone yet to provide the relief, the in-between care, or maybe it's to be present at all the doctor's appointments. I think what I'm trying to say is be mindful of the whole family, but also remember to keep your elder in the conversation. I want to share something from Kathy's blog. Talking about compassion, she says, compassion is seeing beyond our expectations to the reality of what another human is experiencing. We all want to love our parents tenderly without regret, and finding a great source of information or encouragement really helps inspire the right heart attitude. What a lovely concept, heart attitude, when the unexpected pops up with an elder parent. We may share some surprises, even some unwelcome ones, but we are traveling this road together in sweet fellowship. Kathy Craffey, thank you for being our guest today. I am thrilled to have the chance to chat with you. It's been a while.
It's so good to be here, Robin. I can't tell you how happy I was when you invited me. I've been wanting to call you and just pick your brain again. So the timing could not have been more perfect.
Oh, I'm so thrilled. You know, we have a lot to talk about. We have a lot of commonalities. We have, as many of our audience knows, and as you know, I did care for my mom for over 20, well, almost 20 years, 19 and a half years. You now are a caretaker, of your mom. And there are many challenges that do come up in the day. But every day is new. Every day is different. Every day presents something you thought you had under control. And all of a sudden, another surprise pops up, doesn't it?
I'm learning something new every day. And I'm old enough to think that maybe, like, I always thought I'd be wiser by now, but I thought I had a little wisdom, you know, especially because my mother, she loves me so unconditionally and proved it when I was a teenager. But I'll just tell you, every day is new at my house, Robin, right now. And I don't remember. I think last time I talked to you, I knew this was going to happen. But our son came home for the summer, worked hard. And about a month into the summer, he said, "Mom and Dad, I want to talk to you about me staying home next fall because I really have missed the last 2 years with my nieces and nephews." Mm. Of course, those are our grandkids. So my husband was like, "I don't know. I think he needs to finish what he started and go back to the school far away that he was at." And of course, Mom, I was like, "No, we need him here. It's good. We want him here. And plus he'll marry a Texas girl that way." So I just had motives. Okay.
Oh, of course. I know those mother motives, and we have to sort of say, all right, let's pace ourselves here. Kathy, before we get into our discussion, I want to introduce you to our sponsor for today. Care.com is our sponsor, and I would love to share a little information with you about them. Care.com is the easy and reliable way to find and manage care for everyone in the family. As the world's largest online destination for finding and managing family care, Care.com helps millions of families find high-quality care for their loved ones and pets, and helps companies support their employees with their home and family responsibilities. Care.com can even help with household payroll and taxes through Care.com Home Pay. When I was caring for Mom, the one area that was the most challenging for me was how to be a caregiver and still be a daughter, wife, and mother, and cherish the time I still had with my mom. With Care.com, you choose the services that fit your family needs and offers you the help you need most. For me, it was housekeeping, personal care, and respite care. Now, a good example of that was the day my daughter got married. I had to travel to be there, and of course I had to be there, but Mom wasn't well enough to travel. Care.com provides in-home care for your loved ones and assures they are in the best of hands with a skilled caretaker. By helping families find great care and caregivers find fulfilling jobs, Care.com is working to provide stability for both and improve the care experience for everyone. Care.com is here to change the way the world thinks about care, to recognize it as the critical thread that binds us all, keeps our economy working, and provides the foundation for the future. If you stop to think about it, half of American adults in their 40s and 50s are in the sandwich generation, providing some manner of care, be it financial, emotional, or physical, for children and disabled or aging relatives. Each year, approximately 40 million Americans, that's 16% of the population age 15 or older, provide unpaid care to an elderly relative or friend. 63% providing elderly care are employed, and about one half work full time. Today, about 90% of individuals want to remain in their homes as they age, which directly impacts all of our family structures. Your family's well-being is your utmost priority. Through Care.com, find the help that your parents need to stay independent at home. Find the personalized care your loved ones need in the comfort of their own home. You can find help with meals, errands, housekeeping, transportation, personal care, companionship, and so much more. It costs less than you think, and it's easy to pay. Hiring an in-home senior caregiver saves money. Switching from care agencies to in-home care can cut costs by as much as 50%. We want you to save 30% off a Care.com premium membership. Visit care.com/great idea when you subscribe. Go right to the website, that's care.com/great idea, and that's spelled G-R-E-A-T-I-D-E-A, to save 30% off a Care.com premium membership. Do that today. Visit care.com/great idea. Kathy, I know we've talked so much about those types of things. And on the other side of the break, let's get into some of the things that you're finding that you need, some of the resources perhaps that maybe are a challenge to you, or maybe some of the ideas or tips that you have found in your experience so far with mom, some of the helpful hints. We've got about 30 seconds before break. I'm sure you found quite a bit so far.
You know what? I'm just amazed at some of the resources that are out there. And while you were giving me that information about care.com, I just went ahead and signed up. So
awesome.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's so exciting.
I'm about halfway through the process. It took me about 2 seconds. So while we're on break, I'm going to finish that.
How easy is that? Stay right where you are. We'll be right back here on Passing 50. Stay right where you are. Passing 50 will be right back after these messages.
It's merging.
Did you hear about the Gaberlunzie bear caught rummaging through a refrigerator in an apartment in Colorado? The tenant heard noises coming from the kitchen and saw a bear with his head in the fridge looking for anything it could eat. What's a word for food that's unfit for human consumption? My wallop. The tenant locked himself in his bedroom and called for help. What's a word for the fear of bears? Ursophobia. We have lots of bears near our Colorado cabin, and we have been told that pepper spray will keep them away. But the idea that it would keep a 500-pound grizzly bear from attacking seems ridiculous to me. I think I'll try the pepper spray on myself and hope the bear doesn't like spicy foods.
It's Merging Neighborhood.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
A couple of minutes older, a couple of minutes wiser. We're back to a great discussion on Passing 50. Hello, everyone. We're so glad you're with us today here on Passing 50. I'm Robin Boyd, and today my guest is Kathy Craffey. And Kathy, we are talking about elders and caring for them, but making sure that our elders are enjoying and appreciating not their independence, but at least that dignity that they need to still feel purpose. They still need to find that value. I think so many times, because we're caring for somebody, it's very easy to fall back into that sort of maternal role where we're kind of coddling them, we're mothering them, we're scolding them for doing something maybe that we told them already to do and they're not doing. Are you finding sometimes that you do have to stand back and say, I need to say it differently to mom than I would have said to my teenage son?
Actually, being a multi-generational family has been so fascinating because some of the attitudes have been the same. And I'm really grateful, Robin, because you always come at this with such a beautiful heart. It constantly inspires me, some of the things that you've shared with me on these other broadcasts. So one thing that I knew going in was I really, because if you'll remember, we did the first show and I was coming on for something else. I don't even remember what. And when I found out you'd had a parent with you for 20 years, I wanted your advice. So I hijacked the show with all my questions, basically. But anyway, one of the things about that show I remember is you really emphasized the dignity and beauty of that generational bond. And and so when I realized that our son was going to be living with us for at least one semester, and honestly, he's probably going to be gone after Christmas because he's, as soon as he makes the transition, he'll get his own apartment and that'll be the end of that. But this one little 4 month period of our life is so, so precious to me. I just cannot believe it. And I know I have the good sense to appreciate it because of some of the conversations we have. So thank you for that. And so I don't know. And I think your question had to do with approaching how to talk and how to approach them about different things. Yeah.
Well, I also think that there are so many times that we can extend those conversations. For example, when my daughter married and moved away, the conversations that they used to have at 2 o'clock in the morning in the hallway back and forth to the bathroom or whatever, those continued by mail. And I have to say it was wonderful for my daughter and her grandmother to have that mail exchange. We forget, because we're in such a high technology world, the art of writing a letter. And sometimes my daughter would just find a clip of some awesome shoes that she knew my mother would have adored, or she'd find a magazine article that would be kind of fun, and she would clip part of it out and just send it to Graham. Those kinds of things are there again, that extension that we need to remember that our elders need. We can talk, we email, we're such a digital age right now that I think reminding our son or our daughter or maybe a cousin, a distant cousin or a neighbor even that might have moved away years ago, that that conversation by mail still can give that person such a lift in a day. I remember my mom would just say, "Did the mail come yet? Anything for me? This tiny little lady, was there anything for me?" And it would make me almost want to run out and just put an envelope out there and put a stamp on it just to make sure she had something.
That's so sweet. I actually had a friend send me an email with their mom's address for her birthday. And would you please send a birthday card? So I know that grandmother got a lot of mail for her birthday that year. Oh, well. Well, I think for us at our house right now, one of the challenging things has been having both a 20-year-old want independence and an 83-year-old want independence. And so those are different conversations. You're so insightful to frame the question that way, because, for instance, I was thinking the other day, gee, I really want to encourage mother to write other people letters. It's such a lost art. Writing letters is something that notes is something we just hardly do anymore. Even thank you notes now come as an email. So
right.
I want to remember to do that. I was glad you mentioned that. But the tricky thing is, in mom's case, well, in my son's case, I'm looking forward to this moment just because I know it'll be very limited, and he's already proven his ability to live elsewhere. So I know that in just a few months, he'll be in an apartment of his own and settled in at his new school and wrapping up his college. But mom, on the other hand, is going to go the opposite transition. And so that's been a little tricky, because I have conversations with William about the future, and they have to do with his gaining his independence. But with mom, it's different. It's more about comforting her, because she will lose more and more independence as we go along, and that can't be helped. So I don't know. Do you have any thoughts about comforting aged parents? I've been doing the best I can, but it is challenging. I can't go, you know, I want to fix everything for mom just like I would anybody else in my family. But
sure,
I can't make her 50. She's in her 80s now, and there's limits that go with that.
I think there's a level of honesty that you just have to be willing to approach. And whether you have caretakers helping you or whether you are 90 or 95% that caretaker, I think for me anyway, I had to be very direct with mom. I would say, "Mom, we need to change your bed more frequently, or we need to change your clothes more frequently, or you're not making it to the bathroom, and this is we have to do things a little differently." It's very, when you're dealing especially with personal hygiene and personal bathrooming and toileting, those are the things that, of course, are the trail bit of dignity that might be left in a person, and now they've lost even that. They can't go to the bathroom by themselves anymore. So to that end, I think whatever the challenge is, you almost have to say, here's our circumstance, Mom. How are you going to feel comfortable for me to help you? If you're having trouble with X, then how can I help you with X, rather than coming in and saying, Mom, you're not making it to the bathroom. You got to use the portable commode. I mean, maybe it's just part of how you're, how an approach to a conversation is. But most importantly, being open and honest and saying, this must make you feel uncomfortable. How can I help you and make you feel comfortable? And there again, it's framing up the topic, but keeping them in that decision-making process. Does that seem like it makes sense to you?
Listen, I don't know if anyone else is taking notes, but I am. I've got two action points I can take home this afternoon already. I think, how can I help you be more comfortable? I mean, what a great thing for me just to memorize and use on Mom or anyone else. That is just such a compassionate way to approach other people's distress. I love that, Robin. Thank you.
You have to keep them in the conversation. I think, and there again, believe me, I can be a very dominant person. So for me to come in and say, you know, bloop, 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 here's how we're going to roll. We have to remember that those elders had been the boss of the family, the matriarch of the patriarch of the family. They called the shots for 70, 75 years. And now it's almost a, depends too. I mean, sometimes elders kind of creep into a more dependent state, whereas sometimes, be it a stroke or an accident or whatever, that independence is severely shut off so quickly. So each time someone has to deal with it, it's going to be a little bit different. But I think all the way through, as my mom progressed in her cognitive decline, it had to be, we had to keep that conversation open. We talked all the time. We really talked very openly.
I love it that you had that kind of conversation with your mom. I'm having a few of those. I tell you one thing that's been a bit of a shock to me. I had had so many people say, oh, I could never do that. How can you possibly have your mom in your home? And so I was anticipating that there would be challenges, right? But
yeah.
I thought being a mom-daughter relationship that the challenge would be in our personalities. Well, that part has been so great. I mean, it's just been so fun to be with her and to wake up together. And David is just a great companion for both of us, and we have our coffee early in the morning and look out the windows and watch the birds, and he reads Jesus Calling to us a lot of days. It's just so sweet. I cannot believe how much I love that part. I didn't expect that. I had all these presuppositions based on other people's warnings, and which, by the way, is not how you approached it. It's one reason I like your approach. But the second part that I did not expect, and you kind of warned me about this, was there are some things that I absolutely have absolutely no control over, and I can't fix them for her. And not that I need to fix everything, but the hard part has been to have her frustration directed at me, and I can't fix it, you know? I know she just is frustrated, and I'm safe. And so learning to speak to her very lovingly instead of saying, well, ouch, Mom, you know, I don't have any control over that. That's been the hard part for me. I don't know if that gives you something that you can comfort me on that with, but that's the hard part, is I did not expect to feel kind of this weight of injustice where I don't have any control over some of this stuff.
It is hard to remember that any relationship, when you have those conversations, sometimes our husbands or our spouses come home and they've had a rough day, and you might say the one thing that's all of a sudden going to be that straw that breaks their tension. They're going to snap at you. They're going to say, "Didn't I tell you this morning that I didn't want to do blah, blah, blah next Saturday night? I thought I told you, you weren't listening to me," and they kind of go off on their rant. Of course, that hurts your feelings. Well, there are times I think that our parents are going to bark at us. It's part of being family. And I think if our hearts are understanding their circumstance, where they're sitting, where they're coming from, they are frustrated. I remember my mom, who played the piano beautifully, I think I shared this with you once, played the piano beautifully in her day. She tried one day to sit down at the piano, and of course her left side was affected by her stroke. Just was so hard for her to play, and she just got so upset. She was angry at me for the afternoon. She just was barking. And then the next day we kind of talked a little bit and said, "I know how frustrated you are. Let's put some music on, or let's do something that's almost like a compromise, if you will." I don't know if that's always going to help, but sometimes we're just going to have to ride the wave and know that on the other side, I still love you, Mom. I do still love you. Kathy, we've got another commercial that we've got to go to, and I'm so wrapped up in this conversation, but we're going to pick it right up on the other side of the commercial. Stay with us, everyone. We're on Passing 50. Be right back. Stay right where you are. Passing 50 will be right back after these messages.
It's Marching.
Here are some tips from the popular UK internet site BuzzFeed to help make your life a little more fun. Next time you catch a cold, try adding a touch of magic by holding a handful of glitter in front of your mouth just before you sneeze. By the way, here's a word coined by a Canadian disc jockey for that feeling you get just before you sneeze. Anticipation. Hey, slang is just language with its sleeves rolled up. The actual medical term for sneezing is sternutation. Here's a suggestion from one techspert for making a cell phone last longer. You can double the battery life of your cell phone by simply putting the darn thing down. Well, that's plain old rumblegumption, which is another word for common sense.
It's Marching Neighborhood.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
Did you get up and stretch during the break? Great! Now you're ready for the next part of our discussion on Passing 50. We're so glad you're back with us. This is Robin Boyd with you today, and Kathy Craffey is with me as well. I love talking to you, Kathy. I love reading your blog, and I want to make sure that everybody else is able to read your blog as well. And I'm going to spell out your last name because many may not quite know how. It is Kathy with a C, C-A-T-H-Y, and the last name is Craffey, K-R-A-F-E-Y. F as in Frank, V as in Victor, E as in Echo. So KathyCraffey.com. Visit her site because you'll also want to subscribe to her blog as well. And you're on Facebook as well, aren't you, Kathy?
I am. And I just sent out last week, I'm doing a series on fear and how it looks in our families. And I am so excited about it because it totally changes the perspective. Instead of seeing the one I'm doing this week is my own personal way of reacting to fear, which is I always want to fight. So it's a different way of looking at fear. So instead of seeing that person who's coming at you ready to fight, you see their motive is to try to fix things and make them better. So I hope people will go and look for those video blogs I did just in the last few weeks on fear. I think they're transformative. I'm really excited. The more people see them, the better. I just feel like those are going to really help people.
I think so. I'm thoroughly enjoying them, but it truly gives you a pause for thought because I think especially if you are in a bigger family, you tend to forget that you need to face some of those emotions sometimes. Or if you're in a small family like now, it's just my husband and myself that are together. sometimes the slightest thing is going to be even more excruciating because there's nobody else to bounce off of. I think when there's a little tension in the house, those are the times that we really need to face what we're dealing with and sort of get it out in the open and resolve it or get beyond it. And that's fear in and of itself, because sometimes we don't want to have to face it. We wish it would just go away. But I think taking things head on and dealing with it, whether you're fearful of it or not, is going to bring you to a better place on the other side.
Yeah, I think one of the things I handled, I think it was this past week in the blog on, it's a video blog on fear, and the one that has to do with flight or fleeing could fit my mother so well. And of course, when you have transitions, there's tons of fear because everything's different. It's changing and you don't know what to expect and you feel out of control. And so she's giving away her stuff. I mean, it's been excruciatingly difficult. And I've just been so proud of my mom. She's such a hero to me. But it has not been easy for her or for us to transition.
Sure. So, now, has she been giving away her things because she wants to or because she feels obligated to downsize and have to consolidate and have to?
Oh, no. She would not give away anything unless she had to. She saved things. Like, our kids call it vintage, which is very kind, and they love it. But it is like 50 years old, and it's been in her closet upstairs for 50 years, you know.
Oh, I love it.
We've had some really great stuff. I mean, I think I may have shared on the other show one of the things we did, because she could not keep a house as big as that house was and then move to her little suite at our house. So we suggested storage at one point, and she did not. One of the things I learned from you about respecting dignity was not to force mother to make any decisions, but to lay out as many good options as I could think of and let her choose the one that she liked. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that I learned was wisdom, because in the moments where her fear and her difficulty making the transition triggered that sense of, you know, frustration and anger and hurt, if that was coming at me, at least we both knew I had not pushed her into anything. I just opened doors for her and let her choose the door she wanted to walk through. So all the process of getting rid of her stuff was really her decision. Now, it wasn't easy for her. It was so hard. And for both of us, really, I mean, there were some days it was just the two of us over there looking at things that brought back memories of my dad. For both of us, that was very poignant and very sad. So I just admire her for all that. I wanted to tell you one quick story about fear, because I think it really illustrates how transitions do make us afraid. And so in my mom's case, she tends to be a person, she's a peacemaker and always has been. It's one of the things the whole family just loves about her. But peacemakers tend to flee conflict. So whenever she would feel fearful, she would retreat. Now, if I hadn't, and maybe this is why God gave me this information when he did, I don't know. Like, I was just praying one day and it popped into my head. Mm-hmm. So I say God gave it to me, who knows, but that's my interpretation of that. Anyway, maybe that's why I got the information I needed at the right moment, because if I had not really analyzed that thoroughly, I would think my mother was abandoning our family or trying to get out of this commitment we've all made to each other. But instead, I recognized that she just needed a break to process what was happening to her. And the way she does that, some people freeze and don't do anything because they're afraid they'll make it worse. Some people flee so they can get away from it and process and ponder. And then people like me, we get in there and try to fix it and fight to make it better. So mom is that person who tends to withdraw. And so because I knew that, I didn't take it personally. I mean, it was hard not to, I'll admit, because I'm her daughter. We have history. But basically that really empowered and gave me confidence to not take it personally and to give her the space she needed. So that was pretty amazing to me, actually.
Absolutely amazing. But think of the gift that you were given, first of all, because you went through all of those things, you shared those memories, And that actually helped her probably put it in the new perspective it had to be, whether it be physically giving it away, putting it away in storage, or just being in a different environment. That in and of itself, I think, helped you, helped her. But what a lovely way to process it. And for her to, for you to allow her to have that time to be quiet or to be reserved or to be a little withdrawn. Yeah, that is something I think there again, because we're living in such a fast-paced environment, a fast-paced culture. We have to remember that they do need that time, and it might be a week, it might be just an afternoon, but they need that time. And I think for us to just be willing to let them process in their own time, that's something that we might have to learn. But I think you're right. Once you've allowed that, it is an epiphany, because it really does. Then whatever's on the other side is going to be all the better. It is so hard, though, isn't it?
It is so hard. I tell you one other benefit of that, knowing that Mom tends to flee.
Mm.
One of the things that one of the conversations we needed to have with her was, and this is probably strange for some people to even imagine, but she, you know, we think it's a blessing and we all want to be well provided for when our spouse passes away or when we find ourselves in retirement years as a single woman or whatever, as a widow or a single gal or whatever. We hope that we have the resources we need. And my mother really does have that. So in a way, that can also be not a blessing, because I'm really concerned that she'll just up and buy a house, a little cottage somewhere away from us, you know, and she's enough, she might do it. So we needed to have a pretty hard, difficult conversation with her about not fleeing, but to please patiently wait for all the processes to be in place before she made any crucial decisions. And I think after we had openly talked to her about what a blessing it was to have her in our home and how concerned we were that if she did move, we wanted to be sure we had the right support in place. I appreciate you mentioning care.com, because because you're so sympathetic to this, it's so important to have those resources available. You just cannot do it all yourself. So anyway,
that's absolutely true. And we've talked about that a number of times, even if it means you just getting to go to church. For me, going to church, I had an hour. That was my time. That was my prayer time, my rejuvenation time. You've got to find some support. In it might be different for everybody. So
I love it that church was where you retreated to. Robin, I love that about you. You complain about church all the time, and I feel that way too. We go to such a tiny, small church. It's multi-generational again, and I find great comfort in that, and I'm really grateful for it. It's not perfect. I mean, there's imperfect people there, but they love me and my imperfections, so we're really comfortable with that.
Oh, I remember too, we had a caretaker coming in for her, and she kept saying, "Oh, we don't need that. Oh, we don't need that." And I said, "Well, you know what? Yes, we do, Mom. And you know what? Not only do you need it, but I need it." And I had to be honest with her, because it meant that I could go to the grocery store. It meant that I could go downstairs and make a phone call without worrying about the buzzer going off, because she needed me. You know, if she had a need, I had this little buzzer that we, like a doorbell that we kept in the house. And so if I was downstairs doing laundry or whatever, but you know, sometimes you have to call the insurance company. Sometimes you have to call the doctor's office, you know, or whatever. And to not be interrupted for that 1 hour that the caretaker was here with her, that was my gift.
Well, it's been so interesting, because times are changing. And of course, you and I have our foot in both centuries.
Yes, don't we?
My, Mom is still paying all her bills with checks. And so my brother, I'm so grateful to have the siblings I have because we're a great team. And he's just taken the financial piece. He and his wife are very responsible and really great at it. And they're both real tech savvy. So he's paying a lot of her bills online now and taking that off of our back so I don't even have to think about it. But Mom cannot adjust. And so that's been interesting because she keeps trying to pay her bills even after they're paid. She's trying to send everybody a check. And my brother and I are like, no, Mom, really, it's paid. It's really okay.
Oh, that's fun.
I know. But I can imagine that's confusing.
You know what's good, though, because she has to put the mail in your mailbox, right?
Yes.
Well, you know what? Let her write as many checks as she wants because you can go and take them out of the mailbox and take care of the bills that need to be taken the right way. You know, that was sometimes not the fights that you want to battle. You just let her write the check. It's just a piece of paper.
I love that idea. And I actually told my brother I'd get the mail first, and I cannot get the mail before her. She is she's so capable. And I'm just,
we're on her. Kathy, we're on our way to a break. Okay. I'm so sorry. We'll be right back and we'll finish. Stay right where you are. Passing 50 will be right back after these messages.
Would you like to know how to bring more ease to all the decisions you need to make in life? Knowing your core values is the first step in Joyce's free live masterclass. You'll discover your top 5 core values in as little as 45 minutes. Join her now at freegiftfromjoyce.com.
Listen up. Did you know recent studies are suggesting that women with skinny waists but sizable hips are smarter than other women? Scientists at the University of Pittsburgh and the University of California gave cognitive tests to a group of 16,000 women and girls of different body types and found the women with the greatest hip-to-waist proportions scored higher. I guess that would make me a walking Encyclopedia Britannica. No, hold on. That doesn't mean it's okay for us to be a powder pigeon. That's another name for a woman whose sizable hips can take up a whole supermarket aisle. Research suggests that the fat around fuller hips and thighs holds higher levels of omega-3 fatty acids, which helps the brain. I'm not sure if I would rather be able to do the Sunday crossword puzzle or get into those jeans I bought 10 years ago.
It's Margin Day.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
Want more information or hear other shows from Passing 50? Check out our info page on beckmultimedia.com or our website, passing50.com. Now, let's get back to our discussion on Passing 50. Hi, everyone. It's Robin Boyd with you with our final segment with Kathy Craffey today. Boy, we're having a wonderful chat today, Kathy. And I love it when we just pick right up where we left off. You know, good friends do that. One of the things we were talking about on the way out, as we were going out to break, is sometimes if your elder is physically impaired, of course, that faces some challenges, but that also gives you the ability to delicately be able to control some things without them even knowing it. As I was saying, I would be the one to have to go to the mailbox. So if she wrote a check wrong or she wrote it for $350 instead of $35, at least I could kind of intercede that and be able to correct it. Or if she was heading out to the bathroom or the kitchen, I could definitely take care of things out there before she even got there. But I think one of the things that we have to remember, especially if someone is experiencing more of a cognitive decline, we're not always going to get through. We're not always going to get them to understand what we're trying to say. And being allowing ourselves to let it be. Let them, of course, we don't want to lie to them. We don't want to sway them into something that's wrong. But if the pot is green and they say it's blue, well, then let them think that the pot is blue because it's not worth that argument. it's just like with children, you pick your battles and you decide this is not worth the energy or effort, and it's not worth being making everything else in the day unhappy. I think sometimes when their limitations are becoming more apparent, you have to allow the limitations to be. And then if it means that you kind of pick up pieces on the back end, so be it.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you mentioned to me early was to look for ways to preserve mom's dignity, even as mm-hmm. as transitions happened and maybe some of her abilities began to decline. And really, she's so amazing that we haven't seen much of this, but we've seen some of the things are challenging, like the way people pay bills now. Mm-hmm. But her... For instance, one of the things I noticed right away is if I stay out of her way, she will have my dishwasher emptied before I can even get to it. And
oh my gosh,
I know. So I'm just so happy about that. So I don't think I've unloaded a dishwasher since she moved in. And it just keeps getting better. And so like last night at about 10 o'clock, we were already settling in, like we were about to turn off the TV, and I hear her in there. She's emptying the dishwasher for the second time since dinner, like dinner time, you know, getting ready for dinner. It ran, and then it ran after dinner. And I said, Mom, you know, you don't have to work this hard. But I've really appreciated it. And I probably would not have been as comfortable with that, except you did tell me to watch for things that she could contribute and really be grateful for them and just praise her and appreciate Perfect. That. And so that's been so great. I wanted to tell you, this is funny to me. So, you know, my kitchen's pretty small and it's not huge, and we emptied the dishwasher. And so instead of having a lot of cabinets, I just kind of wanted a lot of open space. So some of my stuff is kind of stacked on itself in the different cabinets. Well, she can't quite figure out my system because there really isn't one. So she'll leave a bowl or two on the cabinet every time on the counter. And she'll say to me, I just didn't know where that went. And I thought, this is distressing her because she needs for it to have a place and it really doesn't have a place. So, so I started saying, Mom, we have such a good system. We're such a good team. Every time you leave something on the counter and I put it away, I know where it is. This is really working. So she's kind of accepted that. And actually, I think my husband feels better about life now, too, because he doesn't have to know where things go either.
Oh, gosh, how fun.
I know. So that's working great.
I love it.
I do have a question for you. I know we're going to run out of time before I can ask everything, but she's working so hard on that note that I did want to ask you if you could help me brainstorm for things that are fun to do, ways to play when you're aging. I don't quite know what to do. Like, what fun things did you do with your mom that turned out to be age appropriate, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, sometimes it's funny because that we had kind of made a note to talk a little about play in our last segment. I think some of the things that were fun for us, she loved her crossword puzzles. So we would kind of try and do that together. She would come up on one and I wouldn't be sure of it and I'd have to go and look it up or we'd have to figure it out. And we would kind of do those together. Or sometimes we would watch Wheel of Fortune together. And I would, she was pretty good at, except right at the very end, it was harder for her, but she was pretty good at finding some of those word jumbles. And we would kind of have fun with those kinds of things. Anything that was sort of, like a puzzle or made her think or had her come up with more vocabulary or sometimes it was music. I would say, what's that song? And I'd sing a little bit of it, or I'd try and play it myself on the piano, and she'd say, oh, I remember that song, blah, blah, blah. That was, Steve Allen's theme song or whatever. You know, it would be something out of the past. And even if I knew the answer, I would always kind of pretend I didn't, because I would want to help her recall. And of course, they're distant recall was far better than their immediate recall. So something that happened in 1940 is going to be something that they'll be able to pull up a lot easier than something that happened 2 days ago.
I'm going to start thinking about this and working on it, but I'm definitely going to start thinking about music because my dad loved music. Mm. I bet my mom would respond well to, maybe I can find some old iTunes, you know, the old albums from there
right.
on iTunes.
Well, sometimes too, and you're right, something on iTunes, but mom loved big bands. She knew every big band. Gene Krupa, for example, we found a DVD that was about Gene Krupa and we would watch that together. And then she'd start telling me stories about she'd be in Boston and have done something or you know, taking the train home. And there would always be something that I would ask as far as, you know, do you remember what it, you know, what was your favorite dress to wear or whatever, you know, things like that, because it would help her remember the fond things that she experienced. And I don't know, that was always something that helped us. It was always good to do that recollection, and maybe then I could find a picture of it, or, you know, and she'd say, yes, I'd find it online, and she'd say, that's exactly it. Look at those shoulder pads. That was just like the coat I had with my, you know, blah, blah, blah.
I love that. That is so sweet. Well, we've had so many moments like that. I have a coat hanging in my closet right now that it's not a fur coat, but it's a beautiful kind of soft cut wool. And it must have been fancy because her name is monogrammed in it, if you can imagine, in the lining.
Lovely. Yeah.
What a fancy piece of work there. And I got it. I think she was pregnant with me when she received it from my dad. And so I just cherish it, even if it is, it fits me great, even if it is a maternity coat.
Well, see, that was a swing coat. That was popular in the 40s, a swing coat. It doesn't have to be maternity.
We're going to call it swing. Well, anyway, I think it's vintage, too, by the way.
I love it. I love it. Well, isn't it true, too? I think the young, what is vintage truly is fun to kind of pull out of the archives and be able to share, whether it be a hairstyle or whether it be, oh my gosh, you know, how her talking about how she would have her hair up in rags and all those things. Yeah.
I love those stories. I do. I just press her for them. It's harder for mom to talk now because of her strokes. She's thinking, but she has a harder time putting her words into the right order and sentence. And
what I think too is kind of neat is to start like a family, like a memory book or whatever, because even though you're not, you're prompting her to help her to remember joyful things, by giving the premise of a family memory book, you're actually jotting it down, and maybe you could put clippings together, and it gives her purpose to kind of sit down and think of some more things. I have a friend who created a book called A Reminder Book, and at some point in time, I'd love to share that with you. It's like a flip card. What's nice about it is it had little affirmations. Think of a deck of index cards, and it had a little spiral on it, and each page was just a card, and it had one little affirmation in it. It might be, I am in a safe place. I know my family cares about me. It might be the next page was, I have three daughters, and one of them lives with me, and two of them live in North Dakota. And then maybe the next page would be a picture. But by these affirmations and these little memory books, it gives something for them to hold. And then when they are in a more somber mode, they might want to just pick up this memory book and be able to flip through at their leisure. It's a little smaller and maybe a little more purposeful than just a scrapbook, because you can slip in all these little affirmations, or remember when Uncle Charlie had the hiccups for 3 days, or, you know, I mean, it could just be something as silly as that.
I love that. I'm sitting here writing all those that you just mentioned down.
Yeah, in another show, I'm going to need to give you the name of my friend. And her name is just escaping me right at this moment, but it's called The Reminder Book. But that would be something that I would definitely do with your mom, because especially if she's having more verbal challenges, this is something for her to do, more kinesthetic and tactile things. And Kathy, we've come to the end of another show.
I have more questions for you. Next time I want to talk about boundaries with other parts of the family.
Oh, absolutely, because isn't that true? I can remember my daughter coming home at 2 a.m. And yeah, I can remember those days. We definitely need to. I want to make sure that I repeat your website, my dear. Kathy with a C, C-A-T-H-Y, K-R-A-F as in Frank, V as in Victor, E as in Echo, KathyCraffy.com. Everybody, please visit her, sign up for her blog, read the wonderful, cherishing stories that she has to share with you. What a lot to think about. And again, our sponsor today, Care.com, and you're going to want to go to that website, Care.com/great idea. For that 30% off of a Care.com premium membership. Thanks so much, Kathy, for being with us today.
Yes, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
We'll talk again real soon. And I hope all of you join us again real soon on Passing 50. This is Robin Boyd. Thanks for joining us today. We hope you have a great week. We're glad you spent this time with us today. Relax. Passing 50 isn't so bad, and every year after can be great too. You're in good company. Passing 50 is a production of Beck Multimedia. Join us again for another great discussion right here on Passing 50.